Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis the midwife.
And I'm Becky the doula.
Welcome to Notes from the Mother Box, where we will be having real and frank conversations about the highs and lows of the parenting journey.
If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and follow us over on Instagram.
We are delighted that we have a fantastic partnership this season with Sophie Le Giraffe, especially because this year is Sophie's 60th birthday.
And we have some exciting things lined up in Sophie's honour across this season, including a special birthday celebration episode.
If you want to see the full range of Sophie Le Giraffe products, head over to sophielegiraffe.co.uk. So pop the kettle on, pour yourself a cuppa, get comfy and enjoy this week's episode of Notes from the Mother Box.
Today we are so excited to welcome the gorgeous Josephine Cobb to the show. Josephine is a mother and a fabulous nutritionist specialising in women's health and especially all things perimenopause. Josephine, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's lovely, lovely to be here.
It's going to be really interesting. I really can't wait to like dive deep into this conversation. If you've ever listened to our podcast before, you'll know that we often ask our guests about their own experience of pregnancy and birthing and the postnatal period. So how was that for you, that experience?
Well, we're going back probably about 10 years. Both were quite surprise births, so lovely surprises. And they were very surprisingly close together. So There's not much. I think there's 16 months between them. So I had them quite close together.
Yeah.
Which has its pros and it has its cons. So I don't know how if you hear this a lot, but with both boys, my first trimester was just a write-off and I was nauseous as all hell and couldn't eat anything and wasn't very happy. I don't know if that's a boy thing. I don't know.
I don't know, because I had two girls and everyone kept saying, oh, it's a girl. But then I've got friends who, like you, said, oh, it's a boy. So I don't know. It's just the first trimester, isn't it?
It's just, that was wicked hard. I remember that. And then from there, I kind of picked up. But I always had very low iron in both pregnancies, which caused a bit of problems and a mini transfusion, which was fantastic. Low iron played a big part in not feeling particularly energetic throughout. And then births were long labours, spontaneous births, blue lighted, very exciting for all involved, but natural births, and luckily all was well. They were cool, they were happy.
Were you already a nutritionist at that point?
No, I was living off cinnamon raisin bagels and a shed load of tea. I was nothing close to a nutritionist.
And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because often, when we go into something and we specialise in it and we become a bit more of an authority of it, quite often it's because when we were going through it ourselves, we couldn't find what we needed at the time. So we therefore sort of dive a bit deeper and we find out a bit more about it, almost to educate ourselves and then to share that knowledge with other people. So I think that often comes from a personal experience.
Yeah, how did you get into it, love?
I think if you ask any nutritionist that is willing to tell you the truth, every nutritionist gets into it to either fix themselves or fix somebody they love.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So it was a bit of both for me. After Henry, my second, Because the boys were so close together, I was hammered. My body was done in. And when you have kids close to, when you have kids full stop, your immune system takes a battering, right? So I was just suffering from really awful chest infections, and my gut was off, and I was the classic tired of feeling tired. So I think when the babies were still babyish, but like maybe 3 or 4, that's when I started, because I'd had enough really of feeling so shocking. And also there's family history of heart stuff, gut stuff. I just wanted to be on top of my game and you know, nip anything in the bud, really. So yeah, it kind of, it came to a head when the boys were quite young, because I was just not well. I wasn't my best self at all.
Which is common for a lot of mums, isn't it, actually? You know, for sure. A lot of mums feel really depleted. So I found you when I had been diagnosed myself with a low thyroid. And I had sort of dabbled with a bit of nutrition in the past, but it always felt really restrictive and kind of unachievable, like too much. And actually, what was great when I met you, and what somebody had said to me about you, is that the way that you work is very doable. Like, you kind of meet you where you're at. And it was the first time that I had found it really, really easy. And so I guess, like, for somebody who doesn't know what a nutritionist does and what they work with, can you explain what you do and commonly what you work with?
Yeah, sure. Well, a nutritionist will always work with the person, exactly what you just said, Becky, where they're at. So I'm certainly not going to take loads of foods away from a busy working mum. I'm going to work with what's on her plate, literally, as far as work and food and kids and all the balance. So I'm very mindful of that. So I work in that way very closely with the client, so it works for them. And ultimately, a nutritional therapist will want to know the root cause of what's going on. So a good example would be you, Becky. You came to me with a hyperthyroid issue and gave me some I just was interested to know, okay, what was root cause of that? Is there something else going on? Rather than if you go to the GP and you have eczema, you'll get a steroid cream. I want to know, okay, what's underneath that? What's going on to cause that flare? And usually you look at all of the body systems from top to bottom, so nervous system to digestive system to your detox system, and to see what's just not working very well or what's out of balance. It usually all starts in the gut, I have to say. And, you know, I often work a lot with gut health, because that usually is a root cause of lots of things. I want to get your body to digest and assimilate and absorb the nutrients that you're eating. You could be on the best, wonderful, rich, green, all sorts lovely diets, but if your gut can't break those down and absorb those nutrients, it's gonna have a knock-on effect. So yeah,
it's amazing. And I think I'd always thought, because I'd never really studied, you know, much about nutrition in all of my training until later on. And we don't get taught a lot of the stuff, do we? And some of the stuff we talked about is stuff that I think is quite common for lots of mums. For instance, we had quite a hilarious conversation about chewing my food properly and not inhaling it. Because that's what you do as a busy mum, right? You inhale your food because you're quickly rushing around and you're eating on the thing. And I remember you saying you need to chew properly and kind of, and that did make such a difference. You know, little things like that really did help. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
But also not necessarily what you're eating, although that obviously is so important, but it's like, I remember a therapist I was working with, a midwife therapist, by the way, talking about how the stomach was the emotional brain. And Becky talks a lot about how the body holds emotions with obviously the remedial massage work that she does. And I think that there's, you're talking about this inhaling food, gobbling it down, getting heartburn, getting indigestion, but also feeling a lot of what's going on with your mental health in your stomach. Josephine, you must come across people talking to you about this a lot, and how that then has the impact on their physical health as well.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a ton of research out there between the gut-brain link. and the mm-hmm. vagus nerve, which holds, it's like the M25 mm. from gut to brain, and it's constantly up and down, up and down, yes. up and down. So it's very well documented now. Not so much, it's kind of new and emerging, but it's the it can't be denied. The research can't be denied. So absolutely. So if we're looking at gut health and mental health, if we're looking at the gut, and you've probably heard of the phrase leaky gut, mm-hmm. which is basically just low form of inflammation. So if you have a leaky gut, they say that you also would have a leaky brain. So it's not going to be, it's going to be related for sure. And also, if you're looking postnatally, you're also looking at stress. The body is under a huge amount of stress. It's flooded in cortisol. Any kind of influx of cortisol for that reason will have a massive impact on gut health, huge impact on gut health, which in turn will create that feedback loop to the brain.
Mm-hmm. Josephine, obviously, you know, as a midwife and as a doula, we work very, very closely with expectant parents, and obviously through their pregnancies, whilst they're birthing their babies, and then postnatally. And for them, but also for us, having been through it ourselves, it is really hard in those early days when you're adapting to being a parent, you're mentally adjusting to everything that brings with it. And as you mentioned beforehand, you are physically healing regardless of how you birthed your baby. From the fact that you've been pregnant for 9 months or so, and then obviously you've gone through some sort of a birth experience. And what we find is women will often say, listen, I'm just running on fumes at the moment. And if I get a chance to grab myself a handful of digestive biscuits and a sugary coffee, then that's good enough for me. And that's what I'm going to do. And actually, I remember in the early days when I had Toby, who's my almost 10-year-old now, my husband used to work away a lot. Like, he'd be sometimes abroad Monday to Friday. And I gained a tremendous amount of weight. I felt absolutely lousy. I was exhausted all the time. And we used to make a joke of the fact I used to live off cheese on toast and digestive biscuits. And it's tough. It's so, so tough, isn't it? So, and I know that this is something that you're very passionate about. I know you're also realistic about the, you know, the fact that it can be, it's hard and it's challenging for new parents. Are there any ideas that you tend to share with the women, the men, the people that you work with about how you can find food that is rich in energy, but that is easy to get your hands on, that you don't have to spend hours and hours preparing some sort of a, you know, a meal that's going to take the time out of the day that you just don't have? Is there any top tips you can give us on that?
Yeah, for definite. I think if I were to go back in time and sit with myself postnatally, knowing what I do now, I probably wouldn't have had, because my friend and I joked, I met her on a dog walk just before I came on. She baked a whole Victoria sponge and we just made our way through it, really, for breakfast over tea. And my goodness, would I change that? I don't know. But if I were to sit myself down now with a Victoria sponge, I would say, if you can prioritize anything, then look to protein. Mm-hmm. Of any source, of any sort, mm-hmm. how you start your day, whenever, I know that's, you know, you're not going to start your day at 7 a.m. Your day probably starts at 4 a.m., you know. But is there any way that you can get your proteins, a little bit of fat, a little bit of fiber in whatever you're doing? And whether that's having some oatcakes, a bit of cottage cheese, a little bit of cheese, whatever, pumpkin seeds on it, and those are the quick snacks, then that's what I would say to myself, is just please, my love, try and get the protein in somewhere. Because like you say, you are healing. And what does the body need when it heals? Is protein. It needs to fix it with protein. So that's a tip that I would give myself. And that would be my kind of centerpiece of whatever snack. If I was snacking, fine. If I could fit a full meal in, God, that'd be amazing. But that's what I would say. A little bit of fat, bit of protein, bit of carbs on every on each meal. And really, yes, I hear you. You're busy and the priority is not really on you, it's on the baby. But ultimately, starting your day in that way and making sure that blood sugar doesn't go crazy will honestly look after you throughout your 24-hour day. How you do that It depends, right? It depends on, I didn't have a great network. I mean, that's harsh. I did have friends, but, you know, I didn't have the extended family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the dream is like, oh, you just go and you just make everyone batch cook for you and bring it in. Mm. I don't know if you were... Maybe that happened to you. That sounds like a magical thing. It didn't happen to me. I didn't have the magical batch cooking fairies. I was waiting for that lasagna to come.
Josephine, I have to tell you, once it happened for me and it was incredible. And I'll tell you why. Becky knows the story. My wonderful Uncle Vito, who is just the most fantastic cook, but unfortunately lives in Perth in Australia, came to stay with us for a couple of weeks. And he batch cooked me his incredible 12-hour long cooked ragu with every vegetable under the sun in it. And it went in the freezer and it must have been 20 meals he made for us.
Oh, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but yes, I know what you mean. That's not typical, but it was incredible when it happened.
I think if I knew now what I knew, well then now, whatever, I would be strategic with the friends and the family I had, and I would get them to batch cook certain things for me. And be very selective about what I want, rather than, oh yeah, just bring me, and then you just end up with 10 fish pies. That's not what you want.
Yeah.
But also I would recommend practically getting two cheapish slow cookers if you're going to get anything. Two. One to have on the go for soups and stews, one on the go for whatever you want to make, banana bread, a porridge, something a little bit more carby and sweet. And so that's a cheap way of making sure there's something always on the go.
God, I have a slow cooker. I have a slow cooker in my bloody cupboard. And it never comes out.
Get it out.
Oh, they are amazing. Yeah, I have. We got, for Christmas 1 year, we got a slow cooker and a National Trust membership. And I thought, wow, we are old.
You are in a different league now, my friend. Yes, you are.
But actually, Josephine, because when I worked with you, another great thing is that you give us loads of amazing recipes. And I think one of the things that you, because I do like toast, and we had this conversation, I have gluten-free toast now, but you were like, just load it up then. And I think it was you that introduced me to avocado and mackerel mashed up together with the pumpkin seeds on top. Lovely. That is such a quick and easy snack full of protein, isn't it? And
absolutely. And
good fats.
And that's what we're talking about here. If you can mash it up, if you can slow cook it up and it's there, then do it. So what I do, if I don't have a lot of time on a Sunday, I will make up a couple of dips really quick, like super quick. So it could be a bag of frozen avocado, some tomatoes, make it into guacamole.
Yeah.
Or it could be smoked mackerel, whiz it up with some Greek yogurt. There you have a pate and a dip, and you can put your crudités in it, put your oat cakes or whatever, and there is your instant protein. That's what we're prioritizing. So I'm a big fan of the slow cooker or an instant pot. I use that pretty much 3-5 times a week.
See, just having this conversation genuinely is inspiring me to crack it out. And I've got a beautiful, great big Le Creuset, like casserole pot. Yeah. And I just feel like sometimes, do you know what it is? And I don't know if people tell you this. I feel like there's so many windows open in my brain of motherhood that, and I admit this myself, that I'm like, something's got to give. And I find my cooking with the children so functional and dull. And I often say to my husband, I'm like, I've just lost my inspo completely with cooking. I just don't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah. I hear you. Totally. Because really, we talked really briefly about what we did in the lockdown. And you were either eating a meal or you were preparing a snack. Or you were eating a snack and then you were preparing a meal for the family. And it was just like, what is this life? And I'm a nutritionist. I shouldn't, you know, be developing recipes. And I just wanted to cry. I didn't want to look at a damn thing. And I think in itself, nutrition, if you can keep it super, I know people will say it's keep it super simple. Like you said, with the toast thing, if you love toast, then that's great. But just try and load it up really simply. And what I eat day to day, ladies, it's so boring. It's so boring. But ultimately I see it as where I'm at now. It's like I know what fuels me. And I know what doesn't work, and I know what makes me feel like crap. So I'm going to steer away from that, and it's very boring, but it just gives me so much energy.
Yeah.
It's nothing fancy. And I think back in the day when I was learning nutrition, I was messing around with cocoa butters and chia seeds and acai berries. And I did my own head in. It's just like, this is too overwhelming. Let's strip it right down to basics. What's your protein? What's your fat? What's your fiber?
Mm-hmm.
Have a bit of sea salt on top. Jumps nice. Good and really that
I love a boiled egg with a bit of salt and pepper on top.
Come on. Yes.
Just and simple.
I think it spurs you on as well when you're doing it for a purpose. So obviously when I had my breast reduction surgery, I had a session with you, didn't I, Josephine, about healing.
Yeah.
And you were like protein. And I was like, oh, that makes sense, because that's what we say for C-section mums.
Yeah.
And actually I saw firsthand, I mean, we were laughing because Lex came with me to one of my checkups. And do you remember the nurse was like, oh, this is healing marvelously. And I said, oh yeah, I'm eating high protein and bone broth, which you had told me.
She actually
looked it up. She Googled it while we were there. She was like, wow, this is healing amazingly. And I was thinking, for me, I haven't had a C-section, but it was making me think, okay, I must talk more with women who are having C-sections about a high protein diet for healing afterwards. So
for sure,
it's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
So I have PCOS, and I was diagnosed with PCOS when I was 19 years old. And so what I put on my body, which I am not always very good at, but what I feed my body has a humongous impact on my body's physical health. Mm-hmm. So I remember being 19 and being at university, and I was extremely, extremely tired all the time. And I went and I had bloods run and I had checkups done, and it came back that I had PCOS. And I said, well, what does this mean for me? My periods were incredibly irregular, but I didn't quite understand back then what that all meant. And they said, well, it doesn't mean a lot for you right now, but it might mean something for you when you come to wanting to have a family. And that for me at the time felt a long way away. Fast forward a few years later, and it did have an impact on my fertility journey, very much so. And it ended up taking 3 years to have my son. I had ovarian drilling. I had to go on Clomid and metformin, and I almost had IVF. I was one round off starting my IVF, and then it happened finally. I did quit sugar. I've done it a couple of times in my life. And one of the things the doctor said is, you're not going to love this, but I think if you could just take the sugar out of your diet. And at the time I was like, what does this mean? Like getting rid of the biscuits, the cakes and the sweets. And they're like, and the potatoes and the pasta and the rice and the bread. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no. Mm-hmm. But I did it. I lost a stone fairly quickly. And my period started to, obviously I was on the Clomid and everything as well, but it all seemed to work quite well together. And obviously I got pregnant with Toby, and I ended up having, after Toby, two more children. A couple of years ago, again, I was in a really bad state. I had a bit of a blip with my health, and my PCOS was playing up something chronic, and I was feeling, and Becky knows because I was talking to her lots about this, I was exhausted all of the time. My periods had become incredibly irregular again. And I mean, they're back to about 3 or 4 times a year. I was heavy, I was lethargic, my feet were hurting. Honestly, it was just dreadful. And I'd really got into a rut with it. And once again, I went back to the doctor who I was seeing, said, have you thought about quitting the sugar again? And I was like, oh God, it's just so boring. But I had to do it. I just knew I had to do it for myself, and actually for my mental health as well, because I'd noticed, alongside all the physical ailments, I have a bit of generalized anxiety, and it was playing up a lot alongside what was happening physically in my body. And so I quit the sugar, and the extra weight started to come off, but I wasn't doing it for that reason. And do you remember, Becky, me saying at the time, I felt so mentally well. That was what I found remarkable about it. Actually, the losing the weight was incredible, but it was almost like a kind of side effect of what the main issue was, which was getting my health back again. And so, you know, my skin looked fantastic. I wasn't exhausted anymore. I felt healthy in my body. I had energy. And and the biggest thing that I just thought, well, there's the proof, you know, in the pudding, so to speak, ironically, was that my periods, for the first time in years and years, went back to a cycle of almost spot on 30 days apart.
Wow. Wow.
Sugar does something to my PCOS body, Josephine.
Oh, heck yeah, it does, my friend. Yes,
it does. It's like a poison for me, which is a shame because I blooming love it.
I know. I hear you. But what we're looking at there, isn't it? It's the glucose and the way that the glucose interacts with insulin. Insulin for PCOS is a huge deal. So ultimately, if like everything that you said, that you were naturally focusing on making sure your blood glucose levels kept in check, which is something that is hugely important for what you were going through, but massively important postnatally as well, because we don't need any other roller coaster. We are already on such a physical and emotional roller coaster as it is. We don't need to be on a blood sugar roller coaster either.
Yeah.
So even though I'm banging on about protein, I'll stop saying protein now. I was going to give myself a bingo protein sheet. How many times I mentioned it? I think that was about 55. So, but it's true. Protein is wonderful at regulating that blood glucose level, and also fiber for insulin as well. So getting some fiber, which I know postnatally might be a bit tricky because, you know, of things moving a bit more slowly down below, that can really help to get that balance between insulin and glucose. So absolutely avoiding those sugars, which we love, but
why do we crave sugar? Is that a $1 million question?
Listen, Becky, if I had the answer to that, I would be a millionaire. Why do we crave sugar? So there could be a few things going on. One could be that there is, like we just talked about, that imbalance between your blood glucose and your insulin. So your body is so used to having the, if you're having a cup of tea, can you have a couple of biscuits? Are we having breakfast? That's a real quick couple of pieces of toast with some jam and a coffee. Are we starting our day that way? Which of course, yeah, because it's quick and that's just life. But ultimately, if we set ourselves up in the start of the day to be such high carbs without the protein, then we naturally will want to crave those same kind of carbohydrates throughout the day. It just sets us off on like an up and down, up and down, up and down. So if you're getting that crash at 3 p.m., it's probably something that happened before. So what did you have for breakfast? Did you have enough protein, fat and fiber in your breakfast? So one reason for craving sugar is that maybe the start of your day might not be, you know, so balanced with proteins and fats. It can, what does sugar do but give us a little ping of dopamine?
Yes.
There's no doubt when we are going through the meal. It's just, there's no doubt, and the research is there. So if everything else is falling about us and everything's a bit shit, you can guarantee that little bit of sugar is going to make you feel better.
Okay.
Biological research fact. So of course you will seek out those foods that will make you go bing. And sugar is a fantastic and quick one for that. And also, if we are postnatal and we have zero energy, fast carbs work.
Yeah.
Like that. You will get a spot of energy, and it's better than feeling like crap, ultimately. So of course you would want, you crave feeling normal or a little energized, and what's going to give that to you but sugar?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We hope you're enjoying our chat so far, but now for a little ad break.
As part of our partnership with the fabulous Sophie Le Giraffe, and to celebrate Sophie's 60th birthday, we are bringing you a fantastic giveaway prize over on our Instagram channel, which includes a Sophie Le Giraffe decoration kit, original Sophie Le Giraffe teether, a DK birth book, and Sophie Sweetie Plush Mini. So head over to our Instagram account where you can get all the details today. Please note that this competition will be drawn on Tuesday, 25th of May, 2021, which is actually Sophie's 60th birthday. Josephine, you have on your Instagram account, you've spoken about this a lot and you've actually given some top tips about sugar cravings and things that we can do. I've got an idea. I know what you're going to say now following the conversation we've had so far. But even though we've spoken about reaching for those biscuits is going to give us that dopamine hit. It's going to be that little rush of energy. What should we be doing instead? What's going to sustain us for a longer period of time?
I'm not going to say protein.
Have a boiled egg.
People just want to hit me. It's like, please, just say something. Say something good about the sugar. Ultimately, so what's your question? What can I grab instead of?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, man, that's really hard.
Handful of olives?
I'm happy with that. But like I said to Becky, can we make it smarter? Can we have a little bit of Manchego cheese with those olives to put the protein in?
Oh, lovely.
Can we have some bread?
Hang on.
Sorry, with sugar, the bread? Sugar. No,
girl, step away from the loaf of bread right now, Becky Hands.
Yes. So if that's all, if we're looking for something like that, because you might be craving salt, right, as well. It might not just be a sugar crave. You might be craving salt because you're dehydrated. There's also that. So hang on a minute. Are you drinking enough? But yeah, ultimately, let's look at just adding on the protein. So if it is olives, Manchego cheese, some cherry tomatoes, and maybe a little hummus and whatever you want to put on it, carrot, rice, cake, whatever it is. It's not as fun. I know it's not as fun as the digestives, but it is just saying to yourself almost, this will give you the energy that you so long for. That will not ultimately. It just won't. So I think it is a bit of training. But you can also, if you do have lovely people around you and you're very specific and say, look, could you make me some gorgeous, you know, energy balls, seedy, datey energy balls that you can have in the fridge or the freezer? So that's your go-to, then fantastic. If you've got the capacity to do that. Another thing I would also maybe look at is if you like coconut, fresh coconut chunks, that's always a good one. When you're craving, oh my gosh, a little coconut chunk, you know, like the ones that you can get. I mean, I know it's loads of plastic that you get from the supermarket, the fresh ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yummy.
One of them, that sorts out a craving for sure. And it also, it just gives you a bit of energy and keeps you satiated until you can eat again. So that's also a tip. Can you whiz up? Do you like smoothies? Are you into smoothies? Sometimes something that might have strawberries in it and is super cold might just take that craving off as well, and that also will. So that's, again, smoothies can be smart. You can add lots of protein, fats and fiber into that as well. And what I did when I was doing lots of things and kids and two jobs, I prepped 5 smoothie bags on a Sunday. So I just chopped a load of stuff up, literally whapped it in those little plasticky zippy bags and whapped it in the freezer. So I just pulled one out and then whizzed it with some milk or seeds or whatever. And that was literally 4 minutes worth of, and it was done.
Yeah. Prep is key, isn't it, actually? I did learn that from working with you. So I would, you know, boil some eggs the night before so that I had quick snacks that I would have, like chopped eggs on toast or something, or, you know, like it just helped me. Yeah. Talking of food, nutritionist, I always would love to know what a nutritionist would like to eat. So if you had to just pick one thing to eat for the rest of your life, or one meal for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Can I say Victoria Sponge? Is that allowed? Can I? Is that all right?
No, it's got to be protein.
Can I be really boring? I'm sorry. And I'm very lucky to be able to tolerate eggs, as you just said, because they're a superfood, aren't they? You've got in one little hit, you've got your proteins, your fats, your minerals, your vitamins. It's like a little superfood. I can tolerate them, make them into many things. And so I'm afraid very, but honestly, my nutrition, if you saw it day to day, is very boring and very practical. And I think that's what the take home is really for me, is that nutrition does not have to be super fancy Buddha bowls. It can just be very basic.
Yeah.
Wonderfully seasoned, very quick.
we've touched on this a little bit already, but I remember when I was doing my massage for mental health training, we talked a lot about gut health. That was the first time I'd ever come across this kind of link between gut health and mental health. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's still emerging, so there's still not masses known about it. Mm-hmm. So if obviously we work quite a lot with women suffering with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Are there certain foods that you would definitely avoid or definitely include if you were having sort of anxiety and depression?
Yeah, I think what's most important, which is a hard one to judge right, especially if you are going through a hormonal transition of any kind, is knowing your normal. What is your normal? As far as gut health, if you're having symptoms with your gut, you could pretty much bet your bottom dollar that your mental health will have an effect in some way. It could be anxiety, it could be depression, but it could also be brain fog as well. Mm-hmm. So just really being aware and mindful of what your normal is. And if it feels at all off, then just being on it as far as, okay, it might not be the foods, but as far as, is there anything that is giving you trouble? So are there any things that you're having gut symptoms with after you've eaten certain foods? Mm-hmm. So obviously grains, gluten and dairy are very well documented.
Yeah.
However, I'm always cautious of vilifying any food group because we just don't know, right? But knowing your normal, knowing if your gut feels off afterwards is literally trust your gut. It will tell you. You shouldn't feel bloated after every meal. You shouldn't feel burpy after every meal. That shouldn't be the norm for you. Your gut should feel all right after food, ultimately. It should. Mm-hmm. So I think just note how you're feeling. Do you feel too full afterwards? Do you feel too burpy or farty afterwards? All of these things is your gut telling you something, and then you can kind of act on it and go, actually, after I had yogurt or whatever, I noticed there was some stuff going on. So I mean, there's that, but also you can look to your gut and feed it what it really likes, and your little good gut bugs, your good gut bacteria, which is massively linked to mental health. So feed those little good gut bugs, and they like prebiotic foods. So I'm sure you've heard of probiotics, where you have your kombucha and your sauerkraut and all of that groovy stuff. Mm-hmm. But actually, your good gut bugs like prebiotic foods. So things like garlic, onions, leeks, and asparagus. Brassica foods, so your cauliflowers, your broccoli, your cabbage. Brown rice as well. Mm-hmm. The good gut bugs love that. So the one thing to look out for, all of the things that I've just listed there, the prebiotics, can be also exacerbatory for anything going on in your gut. They can ferment as well. So that's also another cue to you that if you are upping your garlic and onions and you're feeling something going on with your gut, then that also might be a clue that something else is going on. Things to include for sure would be any anti-inflammatories, any anti-inflammatory foods and antioxidant foods. So your omega-3s is a huge, brilliant, well-studied anti-inflammatory. That will always help. So a fish oil, or if you like eating oily fish, that's fantastic. And also just keep in mind always vitamin D and your vitamin D levels for sure, because there is that link between depression and low vit D. And that's an easy fix because you can go and get it tested at your docs. They will test your vitamin D and then work with a practitioner to get the right supplementation always if you're supplementing. So yeah, vitamin D is linked to the depression, but it's also linked to your microbiota as well, that gut health. So yeah, fish oils, vitamin D, prebiotics, knowing what your normal is, and always getting help on supplementation.
It's so fascinating because obviously, pardon the pun, it being like a chicken and an egg situation, but here's a situation where if you have a depression and there might be certain foods that could really sort of work against you and almost amplify and make it worse. But there's also an element of when you are experiencing low mood or you're very anxious, and if you are going through a period of mental health illness, there are often signs, say, for example, disinterest in food, or just absolute overwhelm at the thought of trying to create a meal for the family. And so it's so complex, isn't it, Josephine? It's this relationship we have with food is never going to be straightforward. It's incredibly complex for a lot of us. And it's sort of, and it's tricky. And I wonder whether you have women, for example, particularly looking at women's health, who come to you and sort of really need quite a holistic approach to their relationship with food. And so you're dealing with a nutritional package and a plan with them, but also very much looking at the other needs that they have physically and mentally really at that time.
Yeah, I would say 110%. I always think a good nutritionist, before they even look at food for women's health, before they even go down the vitamins and minerals, because really women just want, just tell me what to eat, give me that PDF, and I will follow it to the letter.
We are so I did.
Yes, exactly. And that's what women want, because we're doing a million and one things. We do not have the capacity, right? However, as I said right at the top, it's not about what you eat, it's what you absorb. And you absorb your nutrients by excellent digestion. How do you get excellent digestion? And that's the key to nutrition. And that's through a very calm, happy nervous system. Yes, how do you get a calm nervous system? It's by not having any of the crap that we have to deal with, which is impossible. So ultimately, before I look at food, I look at that nervous system health. Because now I could put you on 150 pounds worth of supplements. It's not going to make much difference if your nervous system is like, woo, through the roof. So working on that, working on lifestyle, obviously alongside nutrition, is completely paramount. And it's not enough, and it's not good enough to say, you just need a bit of self-care or something like that. It has to work for the woman in front of you. Because if somebody suggested an Epsom salt bath to me to relax, I'd punch them in the face. That's not how I relax. Right? How I relax is
I'm laughing because I always recommend Epsom salt bath.
I know, so do I.
We blink in love an Epsom salt bath.
Exactly. But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You've got to meet you where you're at, right? That's the thing, isn't
That's the thing. Kind of, so for me, I like chopping vegetables fast. That puts me in a very...
Is it the element of danger?
I think it's a sharp knife. The sharp knife in my hand. And I also, I sing, because I know I can feel my vagus nerve calming down like that.
Yeah.
And those are the things that help me. Would they help the woman in front of me? That I'm absolutely not. I asked them to sing in the car. They'd be like, can I have the Epsom salt bath instead? So it's finding that sweet spot with a woman to go, ultimately, this needs to be prioritized, because we do not prioritize cell. Any up that we have, like now, for example, we are burning through the adrenaline and cortisol, are we not? We're on this podcast. This is wonderful. I love it. I get excited. But ultimately, I know my adrenaline and cortisol is high. And for an hour, that's been quite high. So I know I now need to, for the same amount of time, get my nervous system down so I'm ready for sleep. Not do anything else. Not take that load of washing out. Not do the bloody dishwasher, because somebody else is going to do that. I'm going to delegate that right now. Because that is everything. And that will set me up for tomorrow, because I'll have a good sleep. That means I won't crave carbs. That means I'll have space and time to prep what I need to do for lunch tomorrow. And that, to me, is self-care, ultimate self-care. Yeah. So for every up that a woman has, can you honestly say, hand on heart, that you also have the same time to down-regulate? Do you? Do you?
No. And actually, that's really interesting. I don't think I ever think to make that happen. I probably could. Well, we can, can't we? If we... But I think I just go, and then think, oh, I'll just crash into bed later. But obviously, that's very interesting, actually.
Yeah, that golden hour before bed is yours. Yeah. It is really yours, because that's the only time really in the day where you can fit in doing a bit of ironing or Netflixing. You can, totally, and I get why you would do that. But that golden hour before bed, you can do something that will totally get your vagus nerve, get your nervous system in check, in order to set you up for the night and then for the next day. So what is that? And let's be strict about that. I am very bossy when it comes to that. I want to work with you, but I also want, I want you to absolutely dedicate that time, not just to you, but to your nervous system. And that, and in that way, you will get the results that you want through nutrition, whether that be to balance hormones, whether that be to lose weight, whatever it is, that's the key.
I think when you're in the house, there's just never-ending amounts of things to do. I, you know, on the weekend just gone, we went away for the first weekend in absolutely months and months and months, and we stayed in a little self-contained cabin. And I said to my husband, just even on the second day, I was like, I just feel so much calmer. But the, we've got three children here with us. It's not like we're all relaxing all day long and we're busy doing stuff. But there wasn't the never-ending to-do list that I feel like a weight on my shoulders when I'm at home in my own home environment that just never ends, that never-ending list that you have.
It's true. And it's an invisible list that only women usually can see. And it is. It's an invisible list, but it's there and it's constant. But yeah, it is about, it truly is. It's not self-care, it's self-discipline when it comes to nervous system health.
And prioritising ourselves, isn't it?
For sure.
And what if you had a lady come and see you, Josephine, and she said, oh, this is all good and well, but I want to be able to go into the supermarket. I haven't got the time to be preparing meals at all. I just want to go in and be able to pick something up that I can feed me and I can feed my family so that we all can look after our gut health together. Is there anything you would say in that moment to sort of help them out? Are there any ready meals? Because they get so villainised.
Yeah,
that might be something that someone could tap into at times if they've got no time, partners are away, they're trying to feed the family, that might be nourishing, that could actually include good nutrition. Is that possible?
Everything's possible. Everything is possible. I mean, the amount of times I've taken a Charlie Bingham's chicken tikka and
I love a load of spinach. They're in it, so sauce, good though, aren't they?
Quite like their fish pie, actually.
Thank you. So this is what I'm talking about. The amount of times that I've taken a ready meal like that, we don't look at the salt, just ignore that for a moment. But even with the kids, I always stick whatever it is. I might blend up some cannellini beans so they don't notice it's beans, and I mix it in with the sauce, or I will put frozen spinach up, and I will, again, all we're doing is layering up what's already there. It doesn't have to be super fancy. So that's an absolutely, if we want to call it hack, absolutely. If there's something in the supermarket, you just, that's a quick fix, brilliant. Then just add stuff to it. They won't know because there's so much salt in it, probably. It's ruined taste. But you can get more protein in it. So if it's a creamy sauce like that, then put some Greek yogurt in. You get more protein for your buck, don't you? So it's just ways, that those kind of ways. I mean, I would steer clear of prepared smoothies or juices because we're like, woo, with the sugar content. I mean, come on. That's, I would just ignore that aisle. Ignore. But again, you go to the lentily canned food bit and you know you can get those pouches of lentils that you can just heat through in 2 minutes. So great. Lentils, chop a bit of goat's cheese, stick a bit of rocket in. Fast food. And really, when you're saying I want to cook for the whole family, I would just pause there for a minute because that's a whole load of pressure. Ultimately, your kids, unless there's something else that's going on with their health, their guts can probably handle a fish finger sandwich. Yeah. You know what I mean? We need the energy. We need to, again, just focus on ourselves. So if it's a quick meal for the kids and then you can prioritize what you're going to eat, a little bit of poached salmon, some edamame beans, you know, something that you know is lovely protein, fiber, fat rich, then that's okay too. Fish fingers sandwich with tomato ketchup, it's great. Give it to the kids. Brilliant. And then you can have something else.
See, that's why she's my favorite nutritionist.
Did I just say fish finger sandwiches and Victoria sponge 100 times? That's okay though.
So we know that you have a passion for the sort of perimenopause, menopause stuff. Yes. And again, that is an area when I'm working with clients that seems to be, like the postnatal period, massively not talked about, not much education. And in fact, actually, I have a lot of women who are really angry about the lack of information and advice out there. And I always send them because I know you do your workshops. Mm-hmm. What would be your advice for anyone who's suffering or, you know, having symptoms of perimenopause nutrition wise? I mean, obviously, I know the best thing is to come and work with a, mm-hmm. a therapist because, it, you know, there's a lot involved in it. But any quick top tips for anyone that's going through that?
Totally. So I would say perimenopause, what you need to prioritize, again, is nervous system, which I've gone into. So I'm not going to go there. Mm-hmm. But let's look at a different system. Let's look at our detox systems. Let's do mm-hmm. that if we're focusing. We've done a bit of gut health, so we can leave that there. But that's also important. So your liver health for perimenopause is so important. It's doing so much.
Is that why when I now have wine, I get all hot and sweaty and I wake up at night?
That's right. Oh, I'm sorry about that, Becky. Yes.
Damn it.
So as we not get older, as we go into our best years, let's nice. Reframe that. Let's reframe that. As we progress into our best years, our liver, our capabilities just may be tuned down a little bit. So we might not be as good as we were breaking down alcohol. Our enzymes might not be firing on all cylinders. So the coffee that we used to have, which just sorted us out, is now making us jittery and tearful. The couple of glasses of wine, which were awesome on that Friday night because we've had a hell of a week, come Saturday, we're now foggy headed and probably anxious and probably snappy at the kids. We just can't tolerate that as well as we used to, full stop. Mm-hmm. And your liver health can be a really good one just to fine tune, hone in on. So how you do that, so you know when I'm saying about the wine and the alcohol and the coffee, we might just want to just look at that ever so slightly. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm boring, but is there any way, can the white wine turn into a spritzer? Mm-hmm. You know, could we perhaps look at a gin, but not with tonic, but with soda? You know, I'm not going to take away that Friday night drink because I will have no clients left. can we just be smarter with the alcohol so it's less hassle for our liver? Because our hormones are just so erratic during the perimenopause. They're all over the shop. And what happens to hormones is they need to be broken down and deconjugated and excreted. How they are broken down effectively is through our liver. We need to prioritize our liver health for that reason. And it's very important to make sure that estrogen that's doing all the things for us is safely eliminated out. So yeah, alcohol and coffee are big ones for our liver health, but we can look at different foods. I mentioned brassicas before, like your broccoli, your cauliflower, your sprouts, your cabbage. That all helps the phase two of your liver detox. So incorporating foods like that into your meals could also be really beneficial. Yeah, in short, I would say let's look at liver health and look after your little liver. It's working really hard for you.
I didn't even link the two things up, to be honest with you. I kind of hadn't seen until this conversation that was something that women need to look after, especially perhaps in their 40s maybe, or at whichever point that they sort of are going through the perimenopause.
Definitely.
That's news for me.
Liver health. All the way.
Really interesting. Thank you so much. Finally, Josephine, we always ask our lovely guests the following question at the end of our podcasts. If you could add a note and pop it inside a mother box heading out to a brand new mum with your best bit of advice on it, what would it say?
I would say, for goodness sake, look after yourself as far as feeding yourself well, because ultimately, however the baby's being fed, the baby will be fed. And it will have everything that it needs. So what is it that you really, really need, and prioritizing you? And how you do that is you look after and you protect your blood glucose levels. You just look after that glucose. You look after that blood sugar balance. You look after that insulin, and it will reward you. It won't reward you with a full night's sleep, but guaranteed it will give you that level of energy that you are so needing, seeking and wanting. Look after that glucose levels, please.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to go off and eat a boiled egg.
Yes, two. And then how can you make that smarter? Can you add something on the side?
Yeah, exactly. actually. I was sitting there going,
some chocolate,
aka e protein.
Put chocolate on the side. I haven't tried any chocolate. Tell feedback to me. I'd be interested.
Thank you so much, Josephine. It's been such a pleasure having you come and join us.
Thank you.
Not at all. It's been all mine.
Thanks once again to the utterly wonderful Josephine for joining us today and sharing such great advice with us all. We really hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to know more about the work that we do, look out for our books, The Little Book of Self-Care for New Mums and The Little Book of Self-Care for Mums-to-Be, where we will talk further about birth, parenthood, relationships and much more.
We've really enjoyed this episode. We're sure that you all have your own stories of your bubbers and their love for our partner this season, Sophie Le Giraffe, and we would love for you to share them with us.
Send us your photos and your stories to our Instagram at Notes from the Mother Box, and don't forget to tag at Sophie Le Giraffe UK on Facebook and Instagram to share your pics with her too.
Join us again next week for more chats with another amazing guest.
See you next time on Notes from the Mother Box.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.